You're listening to the Missional Marketing Podcast, a show for church leaders, church communications professionals, and ministry volunteers. Our goal is to help your church grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications.
In this age of AI, what's going to matter to our churches is transparency and authenticity. We want to make sure that we are as authentic and transparent about what we're doing when as possible.
Welcome to another episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast. My name is Bart Blair. I am joined by the CEO of Missional Marketing, Mr. Jason Hamrock. Hello, Jason Hamrock.
Hi, everyone. Hey, Bart. How you doing?
I am doing well. And we are joined by a third guest in our studio today, Dr. David Thorne, who is the brand director of AI for Churches, which is a Missional Marketing company. Hello, David.
Hi.
Hi. If you're listening to this podcast for the first time, you might not be familiar with David. Well, if you're listening for the first time, you're not familiar with any of the three of us. If you've been listening for a while, you've probably heard David on our show before. Maybe you've listened to another podcast that gets produced from the Missional Marketing family of companies, which is called, is it called AI for Churches? Is that what the podcast is called?
Yes,
yeah, AI for Churches. Doesn't get much more straightforward than that. David is kind of our internal guru on artificial intelligence. He has real intelligence and he's helping us navigate the landscape of artificial intelligence. And we brought David onto the podcast today to have a conversation about artificial intelligence and the things that he's learning, the things that he's seeing in the local church. And am I leaving anything out, David? Anything else you want to add before we start asking you really hard questions?
I would like to establish that I am the a real human David Thorne and not an AI version of myself.
It's very good to know.
We always have to ask him because we don't know who's going to show up.
Yeah, he's done some tricky things in recent months with artificial intelligence. And so we are having to double check from time to time that we're on the phone and it's the real deal, flesh and blood, David Thorne. Well, David, why don't you start really just by giving us a little bit of an overview on what you're seeing in the AI ministry landscape. Let's just talk kind of high level here, and then I have some more specific questions I'd like to get into in terms of just kind of doubling down on different areas in AI.
I'll say this, like big picture, the church is, I would say, in this specific instance, a little bit ahead of many other industries, like even just general nonprofits. I find that pastors have been more open to this new technology more than other technologies that have come in the past. And that's been super exciting. There's still a lot of just kind of questions and say, how do we apply this? So what I feel like where the greater church is open, interested, but unsure what to do next. And I feel like that's where we are right this very second.
Yeah, that's really well said. I think you're right in that. I think there's been a lot of experimenting, and you might even call it closet experimenters, right? They're on their staff and they're using AI, but they really don't know if they should let anybody else know for fear of authenticity is out the window kind of a thing. And I understand that's a real, real issue because I talked to lead pastors and executive pastors who want to kind of move in that direction of getting the staff to utilize AI, but there's just some hesitancy. So even though that's happening, that's really, really good signs, we're still a little behind the curve in the whole staff getting trained up on how to use these AI tools. And I'll also say this, and then I'll turn it back over to you, David. I am a firm believer, and I don't think you can convince me otherwise, God gave us AI for the church. He is the author and creator of everything for his good. And so I believe that AI was actually created to help push the gospel forward. I believe that. Now, the rest of the world has just kind of hijacked it first, right? But it can be used to further the gospel. And so I think from that perspective, we should really embrace and learn how to use AI for the greater good. So how are you seeing that happen?
I'm going to stop you there, Jason, just real quick. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You all know that the GPT in Chat GPT stands for God plus technology, right? Chat, God plus technology. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Boy. Okay, yeah, that's
right. That's a stretch. I like it. I know.
Love David. It. Okay, so David, how have you been, like, talk to me about what you are seeing in pastors movement.
Yeah. So I'll say this, that I feel like when pastors begin to use it for the first time, you feel like their eyes just get big and they're saying, you can do that with AI. And things like, it's just, you know, say like practical life things where, like for me, like when I cook, I'm always talking to ChatGPT. My sons call it my best friend. Are you going to ask your best friend? And we talked with Bart. Bart's wife, I think, has some jokes with him about when he references Claude.
Yeah. Yes. My wife actually refers to Claude as her boyfriend sometimes. So, yeah, because Claude does a lot of things for her.
Claude and I are buddies then. So yeah. her boyfriend and I are friends.
Yeah. I am also a fan of her boyfriend, Claude, which is a large language model, which is a fancy way of saying an AI model that it's like ChatGPT, and it's awesome. But so there's a lot of things. Like I'll just say, like big picture, that using things like ChatGPT have completely changed how I write things, period. Oh, yeah. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to write, going back to how I wrote things previously, where now all of my writing is a much more iterative process where I'm explaining what I'm trying to do, a task. ChatGPT or Claude is giving me some feedback and some ideas. I take that, tweak them, write them, put it back in, and there's this back and forth writing process. And that's just a big picture of if churches begin to apply that, and then they create content like blog posts, which they never had time to do before. And all of a sudden, they can generate blog posts super fast from their sermons, or generate sermon summaries, or generate small group questions. And there's these kind of things that pastors have not done because they, you know, there's these things that pastors know they should do, but don't have time. And AI is helping them to do that for the first time consistently, easily. And then there's just these other things that used to take a lot of time, and now they don't, like creating small group discussion questions or generating devotionals for your church based on your sermon. And these are the kind of things that it just, pastors are just over the moon for, just saying this stuff's amazing.
You know what I've learned? What I think a very big misconception is this, that AI is going to make you dumber, that it's going to do the job for you, therefore you don't have to think. I am finding that not to be true. In fact, I'm going to say it's the opposite. Just to give you an example. So I had to give a presentation. And so I use Claude to say, hey, I'm giving a presentation. Here's the audience. Here's kind of what I'm thinking. Here's a few bullet points of what I'm wanting to do. Give me some help. Enter. It gave me quite a bit of information, which I read through. And you know what I found out? It's educating me on some things. Even the topic that I want to talk about, not only am I honing in on the best way to say it, I'm actually learning some new things. I'm like, I didn't think about that bullet point. Huh, that's really cool. I can add that to my presentation. So it's not making me dumber. It's actually making me smarter. Yeah, and way, way more efficient.
I'll give you an example of that, Jason, is AI, large language models, and which is a fancy way of saying AI models like ChatGPT.
Yep.
Large language models are awesome at generating policies, which, you know, I'm sure everyone loves creating.
Everybody loves policies. A good policy.
Just everyone. I'm sure. Again, to that one listener who's out there who's like, wait, I like creating policies. Good for you.
You're on an island, but you are
you are a part of the body, you know, and we're thankful you are part of our church
That's
body.
That's right.
But you can ask ChatGPT to help you to create a policy. And then after you get it, all you have to say is, is there anything else that I might need to consider adding to my policy that I did not add? And that's where I find invariably it's going to suggest two or three more things. And you're just like, oh my word, I never even thought of adding that.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff that it's so helpful to do that you wouldn't even thought to even ask that question.
It's educating you. It's not making you dumber. It's making you smarter.
Well, let me share an example of something that I'm working on. I'm team preaching with another guy. And you think about this, if you're a church that has team preaching, maybe you have two people or three people on your preaching team. I co-preach, tag team preach with another guy. And we picked a book of the Bible that we want to preach through. And we have very specific themes that we really want to highlight from this specific book of the Bible. And we have a certain number of weeks that we want to be able to get it done in. And I went into Claude and I said, this is what we want to do. This is our goal. These are the themes that we want to highlight. Make a suggested calendar for how we would break up this text to be able to hit all of the themes that we want to hit in the major pieces of text in this book of the Bible in the number of weeks that we want to get it done in. And in a matter of like 4 seconds, I have a starting point. Now, we may not do it exactly the way that Claude delivered it to us, but we now actually, rather than starting with a blank piece of paper and going, okay, now let's go through this and let's get the comb out and start doing the fine tooth comb of the text and figure this out. ChatGPT or Claude gave us a really good starting point so that we can actually massage that and it again saved us an hour, couple of hours, so we can actually get to the point, which is
quicker.
Deciding who's going to preach on which topics and break it down, and then we'll write our sermons. And we won't let Claude write the sermons for us, but at least Claude has kind of given us some direction in terms of that planning calendar. So planning and scheduling is another thing that I did this for another quick note here. I did this for a church. They needed a sort of a 6-week preparation plan leading up to Easter. At the time that this episode is released, we're just past Easter, but about two and a half months ago, I was like, okay, this is the situation of the church. This is who the staff people are. These are the things that they want to prioritize leading up to Easter. Can you create like a 6-week game plan on how they can prepare their building, prepare their ministry teams, prepare their marketing? And what would that look like? And boom, in a matter of seconds, I had a detailed plan for what could be done week by week in the 6 weeks leading up to Easter to make sure that this church was prepared for all the things that they wanted and needed to be prepared for. It simplifies so much.
Yeah. And ChatGPT just released, maybe even today, which it won't be by the time that this is published, but the ability to add a knowledge base to your ChatGPT a team group. And so that you can add some specific knowledge about yourself when you're in your group or your church based off of your use of ChatGPT, which is really cool. But I want to mention something, Bart, that you're saying about like the asking ChatGPT to break up your sermon stuff. And going back to what else am I hearing from pastors? And one thing that I do here when there's a group of people who are saying things like when you say, oh, church people can use AI, and their immediate thought goes to the worst possible case way that it could be used. And they say, well, I rely on the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do that. But, and this is where I love what you just said, because this is what I would say. When a pastor was typically, if you were typically going to do that task you just did by breaking up, a 8-week sermon series by topics and by weeks, how would you typically do it? And what I'm going to guess is you would not sit down and say, let's pause and let's fast and pray over this next day and a half. And just really seek the Lord to lead us of which theme I should do and which week. And maybe sometimes like there's a time and a place for that. But typically you're going to, okay, open up your calendar. I like that theme. I'm going to do it that week. And it's a functional decision. It is not this like fasting over which cereal you're going to choose to have breakfast that morning kind of a thing. And so that's what I'd say is leaning into AI, there's 95% of ways that you can use it that do not take away from the Holy Spirit. And there's like a 3-5% ways that you should probably not use it that possibly could take away from the Holy Spirit. So as long as you stay in that 95%, you're totally good.
Well, I mean, you know, back in the day, did you go to the Google to look up stuff? What point did you think, oh, it's probably okay, I can go to Google to look up stuff before Google was invented? Right? So Sure. It's the same thing. It's like you're going to just move into this because it's more efficient and we got Navy to work with.
To some degree, you know, you might pull out your Charles Spurgeon books and see how Charles Spurgeon preached that book of the Bible and how he broke it up, right? We've all been influenced by different things. I think I want to pivot to another sort of topic here, another question, David, because I think we're kind of treading in this area, which is the point of ethics. So when it comes to AI, what are you sort of seeing as some ethical framework for churches? What are some of your pro tips that would actually help churches guide their staff on how and when to use AI and when not to?
Yeah. What I would say is the biggest picture is you as a human should always maintain your authority over what you're creating, your ownership, your authority. Never kind of publish something that you don't own what it is. And what I mean by own, I mean like you're saying this is me, not just AI generated. It's the idea that AI should always assist you and not do things for you. And that's probably the big picture ethical framework is we always want to encourage our church staff to make sure that AI is assisting you, not doing things for you. I'll stop there to say that's probably as big of a circle as I can draw for an ethical framework.
Okay. Jason, you have any thoughts on that?
I think it's really important. I think this is kind of a pretty big point in time with AI and churches is drawing the line of our policy and what we believe and what we're going to be okay with, which, by the way, I'm just going to encourage you all, that's probably going to evolve and change as this thing changes. It's not like, isn't this AI thing pretty cool? It's like a microwave. No, microwaves really haven't advanced over the years. A few features here and there, it still heats up food or water. AI is not that.
And the clock still flashes when your power goes out. They haven't ever solved that problem.
AI is changing daily. And it's going, a year from now is going to be completely different than today. Like you're going to go like, well, that was so ancient a year ago. Remember that Claude thing we used to use? Yeah. Who knows where it's going? So I think the idea is let's have some policies that give our teams freedom to use AI in a good manner, like you were saying, David, like it should assist you, not do everything for you kind of a thing. Yeah. But just recognize that our policy is going to have to get updated probably every once a quarter or like twice a year, simply because this thing is not going to stop developing. And who knows what's going to be a year or two from now.
Yeah. And I'll add some other thoughts on this idea is that in this age, in this next age of AI, what's going to matter to our churches is transparency and authenticity. And so we want to make sure that if, again, an ethical framework when it comes to the use of AI is that we are as authentic and transparent about what we're doing when as possible. And kind of like to what you just said, Jason, is that every church should relook at their information and technology policies and make sure that they're updated.
Yeah.
Because what I would guess is, and I found this from talking to churches, most churches don't have any kind of information and technology policy. So if you have one, great, you're doing awesome. You're in like the top 10% of churches. But we need to have things that talk about plagiarism. And what I would say on that note is it's not only about AI. What AI is pointing out is that we are deficient in even defining what is plagiarism in general. So for example, if a pastor, and this would be in that like 5% area that you should not do. If a pastor takes an Oswald Chambers sermon, or which they want to do, an Andy Stanley sermon. We'll do Andy Stanley, an Andy Stanley sermon, and preach it as if it was their own, which has nothing to do with AI. That is wrong.
Yeah.
So whether somebody does something like that with AI or without AI, it's wrong regardless. So we need to make sure that our churches think about those things. We make sure we have policies that value transparency, authenticity, ownership of what is created. And we just kind of reiterate those things like, hey, we shouldn't plagiarize, or things like copyrighted characters. As a church, we want to be cautious if we're going to use a Disney character on the screen. Or how do we use a copyrighted character? What does the law allow or not allow?
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with AI, but AI makes it easier for us to use copyrighted characters. So it kind of it brings that already issue to the surface in a way we've never had it emphasized before.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think you've said this. You and I have had many conversations about this over the last year or two, and you've talked about churches not necessarily needing to come up with a specific AI policy, but an information and technology policy. Because in reality, we don't refer to our phones as smartphones anymore. They're just phones. Every phone is smart. So when they're all smart, oh, there goes the dog. Yeah. David's, his artificial intelligent dog is barking in the background. No, it's a real dog. We just refer to phones as phones now. They don't have to be referred to as smartphones because they're all smart. Eventually, all AI is just going to be kind of probably lumped into technology in general. And we're not going to see AI as a separate type of technology than everything else that we have, right? I think, you know, things like you use AI when you, speaking of phones, when you use facial recognition to unlock your phone. But you don't think about that as AI. You call it facial recognition, or a cool feature on my phone that allows me to unlock my phone without having to punch in a password or a keyword, right? So I think that's a really good point. And David, you've talked about this a lot. And I do want to mention that for those of you who are listening to this, if you have questions about how to put that information and technology policy in place, David is a great resource for you on that. And I'm sure I'll give out your phone number here. Well, you can check the show notes for his email address, and feel free to send him an email, and I'm sure he'd be happy to get on a Zoom call and talk through with you what he might be able to help you with in that regard. Let's kind of, just for the sake of time, move to the future a little bit here, David. Looking ahead, what are you excited about today as emerging AI capabilities? What do you believe the church has potential of using in the near future that's really going to make a difference in their technology use?
Big picture is we're moving away from what can AI do and what can't it do. And we're moving to imagine it can do anything. So then what do we want it to do? What would be most helpful to us? So in this next bit of road, it's really going to come down to us as church leaders beginning to imagine what are the most tedious tasks that we wish would take less time, or that we want to automate. And those are conversations we're having right this second. And if you're listening to this show and you have thoughts on, man, here's a task I wish I didn't have to do, or I wish it took less time, reach out to me. Reach out, put comments in our podcast, and reach out to me, and I would love to talk with you about that, because we're working on that right this second. And I'll give you one specific example. We're working on voice agents, which is a fancy way of saying a super smart voice bot that can call people. And imagine this, if you, for like Easter and Christmas, imagine if you have in your database all these people, and some people maybe like forget, like you could evangelize your database of people by just calling every single one of them and saying, hey, Jason, this is an AI volunteer for First Church of Texas. And I'm calling you just to see if you're, if your family was planning on attending Easter with us this year. We would love for you to come. And actually, while I have you on the phone, is there anything that you'd like to pray for or anything that I could pass on to the church staff about your family? I'm just here to help. And imagine what would happen if every Christmas and Easter you began to lean into that kind of technology. Or if you have like these lists of people that attend an event and you could automate some follow-up emails to those people that just keep them knowing what's going on in your church. And you didn't have to write all of these emails, but some of them were automated, automatically created and sent out. That would save a church a lot of time.
Yeah.
I could talk for a long time about where we could go, and then we could dream about the far future where a pastor could go on vacation at some point and have an AI version of himself preach a sermon that he wrote using the Holy Spirit. But
Spirit in the hologram, huh? Yeah.
It is a matter of time before a pastor could write the sermon and then a hologram version of him or on the screen or something that was generated and using his voice could preach that sermon. While if he has to go on vacation 1 week, but wrote the sermon in advance. That's nearly possible now. And basically it is possible now, but that's where things like transparency and authenticity will come into play. Cause we're saying, hey everyone, this is how we did this. The pastor wrote the sermon using the Holy Spirit, and we are using technology to show it to you.
Yeah, that one creeps me out a little bit. But I will say this, Jason and I, well, all three of us had the opportunity not too long ago to hang out with a bunch of executive pastors at the ex-pastor conference. And one of the things I talked to several of these executive pastors about was utilizing AI to analyze attendance and giving records, to look for anomalies, to look for patterns, and to be able to do more predictive future giving so that they can budget better. I mean, what church doesn't want to be? I mean, let's face it. If you've ever been on a staff and been part of crafting a budget for an upcoming fiscal year or calendar year, you know that it's basically a guessing game. Like you're guessing at what you think is going to happen. There's very little you can control. But if you actually had data that you could use an AI tool to analyze for you and knew how to write the prompts, knew how to use the tools, maybe you could get within a 2% or 3% accuracy rate versus maybe a 10 or 12% accuracy rate. And then you'd better be able to budget for staffing, better be able to budget for facilities and maintenance and other things that you need to budget for. So those are some things that I kind of dream of.
Yeah. I use it for the data analysis stuff all the time. I was just doing that before we jumped on this call.
Speaking of prompts, I use the term prompts. Can you explain for just a second what a prompt is?
A prompt is nothing more than the instructions or the conversation that you have with a large language model like ChatGPT. It's what you type in the same way of what you type in the search bar in Google. That's called what you type in, what you type in the search bar in Google. but what you put in a large language model like ChatGPT, that's called your prompt.
Okay. Now, this is one thing that we know to be true, is that the better you get at writing prompts, the better results you get from the large language model that you're using. And not all large language models are the same. I've used a few different ones, and different people find different ones that work better for certain things. But I will give you a chance to do a shameless promotion here. You and our colleague, Katie Allred, recently released a book called AI Prompts for Church Leaders. Can you explain what that is and where people can find it?
Yeah, you can find it on Amazon. And what we did was we said, hey, church leader, if you're not sure where to start for how to, what kind of tasks you can give AI, then let us help you. And there's various chapters on all the various different parts of ministry. And what we do is we give you the prompts, that the instructions, the tasks that you can give in any AI large language model to kind of get you started. So it's a really easy way for a church to just jump in. And that's where all the chapters go through various ministries and prompts that are within that you can use to help within those ministries.
It's kind of like a little AI prompts for dummies sort of thing, right?
Yep. Yeah. And in fact, in our cohort, we have an AI cohort that meets, and we meet every other month. And one of the guys in that cohort, he just bought that book for everyone on their church staff. And they're going to go through it to just kind of learn together and think about how they can deploy AI within their church ministry, kind of just starting with the example ideas that the book has for prompts.
Hey, explain this cohort thing that you do. What is that?
Yeah, so we have a cohort that meets every other month, or every other month we start a new cohort. And it's an AI 101 cohort. And just saying that there's probably a lot of people listening, a lot of churches out there, if it's not you, there's somebody on your church staff that you want to get started learning how to use AI. And that's what this cohort is for. It is saying, let's start at ground zero. You know, some people can't even spell LLM, and, you know, just joking, but we're learning together. This is a brand new thing. And so what we do is we meet every week for a month, and we will meet for an hour, and we start at the very beginning, assuming you know very little. And we teach you how to use AI effectively. We talk about the prompts. We talk about what kind of tasks you can do. We move into image generation, platforms you should know about. And we kind of end with, we get on a call with you and kind of say, where does your church go from here? And that's how we end every cohort. We've done it a few times, and it's been so much fun. Katie Allred and I do that together.
But there's a cost to that.
Yeah, it's $99 for the month, which is very low for, you know, we meet four times, and it's $99. You can sign up for it anytime. You can just go to our website, which Barb will put in the show notes, because it's AI for churches, but there's hyphens in it. It's
every church communication director's dream domain name. It's AI-4-churches.com.
/AI-cohorts.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes and save you the trouble of trying to figure out where the dashes go.
Yeah, but we're going to have our next cohort will be started in May.
May of 2025, if you're listening to this in real time.
Yeah, May 2025.
And you'll do another one in July, you think? So May, we'll skip June and then do July. So you do it every other month. Okay, cool. So your book costs money and the cohort costs money, but you also have a free tool that your team has built that is available for churches. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's called Sermon Spark. And Sermon Spark is an AI-powered sermon assistant for a pastor. It can help you. We have tools in there that can help you with researching sermon stuff, help you during your writing process, like coming up with sermon outlines to kind of, you know, get the juices flowing. And then the one thing that people really need to know about is we have the ability for you to create a sermon transcript from your sermon video or however you have your sermon recorded. And what it is for free is we give you a certain amount of credits for free every single month. And with those credits, you could generate a free sermon transcript from your sermon. And then you could either use the tools that are in Sermon Spark to do stuff with that transcript, or you can copy the transcript, paste it into somewhere else, and do stuff like generate blogs, sermon summaries, all kinds of stuff. But it's important to know that, and what we're really proud of is, our sermon transcript creator is the absolute top technology that we can offer in regards to creating a transcript. Like, we're not just bumming the YouTube transcript that's not that great from YouTube. We're generating a top-notch transcript and giving it to churches for free. And so if you do nothing else, every single church in the country should go to SermonSpark every single week, generate a transcript, and don't let your sermon just collect dust on a shelf. Generate small group questions, generate sermon summaries, generate blog posts that you post on your church website to generate traffic, which you guys talk about all the time of generating content that is relevant to your sermon, that's relevant to people out there. But those are things that every single church should do using SermonSpark every week.
That, I think, is going to do it. Mr. Hamrock, do you have any closing thoughts here?
No, just thanks for sharing, David. Really appreciate your insight. So,
yeah. It's exciting for us to have a guy like David on our team. And again, for those of you who are new to the podcast, we do our best to release an episode on a weekly basis. If you haven't yet subscribed wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, make sure that you do that. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, you can engage with us there. Make sure that you subscribe so that you get notified when new episodes are available. And if you think that this podcast would be helpful for somebody else that you know, please feel free to share it with somebody else. You know somebody that we don't know, and you can get this to someone who might be able to benefit from the content. So on behalf of David and Jason, I'm Bart Blair. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Missional Marketing Podcast.
This podcast is a production of Missional Marketing. Our goal is to help churches grow by leveraging digital marketing and effective communications. For more information, visit our website at missionalmarketing.com.